You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a brand new episode of Kyle.
Knockouts and Three Counts, POV version, just kidding.
Right in your face. Surprise. Never mind, I'm not going to finish that.
Surprise, surprise, motherfucker.
Here with a brand new episode of Knockouts and Three Counts, we have a very special guest that's going to be calling in very soon. While we're waiting for that, we're going to go ahead and do our intros. Mr. Collison, why don't you go ahead and take it off?
Take it off? Whoa. I mean, if it's that kind of party.
When we start talking POV and shit,
if it's that kind of party, I mean, you should have let me know. But anyway, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit NOKOUT. And that's on Twitter and Instagram. On Facebook, you can find me at Kyle Collison. Follow the show, please. It does us more good than you know. Knockouts and Three Counts podcast on Facebook, at KO3CPod on Twitter and Instagram, and at KO3CPod.com. We got to put some more stuff up there, but trust me, we know if you're looking.
Yes, sir. And you can follow me on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63.
That's his private channel.
And for the right, never mind. Leave that one alone. You can hit me up on Instagram at AllSteakNoSizzle. That is one word. Make sure you check out the Reality Era News page on Facebook. We talk wrestling in there. So go ahead and hit that join button and we will approve you. We really haven't not approved anybody, I don't think.
So, I mean, there's really no reason to not improve somebody unless you're just an asshole that comes in there like just starting shit.
So why are you on there?
If that points me out, then your ass should have been gone a long time ago.
This is probably true. So yeah, go ahead and join the group. We'll accept you. And if you're looking for a car, make sure you check out SouthfieldQualityCars.com. Once you go on the website and find the vehicle you would like to purchase, make sure you stop inside and use the reference code 19309. That's 19309. And you will receive $500 off on your purchase.
19309.
All right, moving on. So real quick, before we, we have our guest call in and we start talking a little bit of Extreme Rules and, until he shows up. Why don't you go ahead and let the people know what we did this past weekend, man?
Conspicuous by his absence, we went and watched Tony Thunder do his thing at BCWA at the Yak Arena, as well as last week's guest. Was it last week or the week before? Week before's guest, Chase Burnett and Zane Silver. Burnett killed it, point blank period.
All kinds of flippy shits.
Yeah, all kind of flippy shits, and did it all with a bald head, so it was all good.
bald and bougie out here.
Pretty much. And then Zane Silver had a good match going until he broke his ribs. So we wish you a speedy recovery, brother man. And sorry that happened to you. And
hopefully it wasn't a break. Hopefully, it might have been just like a
cracked rib
or, a bruise or something like that. Hope it was a bruise.
Hope it was a bruise if somebody could kiss it better for you. But on top of that, we had, conspicuous by his absence, Tony Thunder doing his thing in the ring. And I thought he was going to win the Battle Royal, but
he got screwed.
Some big bald sumbitch ruined that.
That's not Pac, man. That's all I'm going to say. That's not Pac. But it was cool to see Thunder in the ring for the first time, man. He
definitely had a lot of energy, the hippie dance going down Pat, dog, because he was
The whole time
in the ring, I'm like, dog. Like 1970 called, homie. But you did your thing.
And he pointed to us too. So
holy shit, I felt so special.
But he was one of the final three in that Battle Royal, man.
I mean, like I said, he did his thing. It was good to see him do his thing. We've heard him talk about his wrestling for so long, so to see it in person, it was cool. If BCWA is around you, come check it out.
Yes, sir. And so let's go ahead and talk a little bit about Extreme Rules, which is coming up this Sunday.
Extreme.
Unfortunately, I won't be able to make it down to Big League Brews because I'll be in Dallas.
He doesn't love us anymore.
No, fuck you guys.
That hurt.
But,
and
yeah.
You wonder why I have to talk to my mom.
But let's talk a little bit about the build-up for this card. As we're talking right now, SmackDown is on, so we don't really know everything on the SmackDown side yet. But from what you saw on Monday Night Raw and the build-up to it so far, what are some of the matches that you're looking forward to the most right now?
The match I'm looking forward to most on the entire card is Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler, period.
30-minute Iron Man match.
Wow. That match is going to be off the fucking chain. With those two guys, you've got arguably two of the best wrestlers you have in that entire company, period. And I find I challenge anybody to try to argue with that. Second of all, I'm a big fan of Drew McIntyre. I'd like to see what he does in it. Yeah, that match is going to be good, unless something catastrophic happens.
You know... If I take that match out of it, I would probably say the match that kind of intrigues me the most is the Leader of Worlds versus the B Team.
They've done a good job with that, in my opinion. A lot better job out of a match that, honestly, otherwise I really wouldn't give a fuck about.
And for me, I think the reason why I'm really intrigued by this match is partly because when we were at Money in the Bank, I felt like they were advertised to be on there.
I thought they were too, but Bray Wyatt got hurt.
Right, but then they weren't on the show, so I want to see what they can do this time. I'm interested in seeing what the B Team can do out there and see more of this Bray Wyatt, Matt Hardy chemistry come together. I mean, honestly, like as far as in-ring work, it might not be the most intriguing, but I think the character work that the Leaders of Worlds have done and the mocking that the B Team has done has definitely caught my attention. So I'm looking forward to that match, oddly enough.
The funny thing with that, I don't know if you've kind of peeped it, but I kind of was thinking about this while I was watching Raw. So for those of you that don't know, Bo Dallas is Bray Wyatt's brother. Right. And the whole time while they have them fight, if you notice, Bray Wyatt fights with Curtis Axel every time, and they do not have Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas fight at all.
I've noticed that as well. I guess they're saving that for the pay-per-view, man. But then when Bo Dallas was pretending to be Bray, I was sitting there watching it, and I'm like, man, he does a really good job with that. And I had to think about it, like, oh, yeah, that is his brother, man. He probably would be probably the best at doing the imitation of his brother. So
at least they did that part. Now, it would have been dumb if you had Curtis Axel do Bray Wyatt, just saying.
Right. But wait, who's this guy?
Holy shit, 2 weeks in a row. Hot damn.
Oh.
I'm going to tell my mom you said that. When she smacks the shit out of you, it's your fault.
She don't listen to this podcast.
Yes, she does.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Mom, Kyle's talking shit. And it's not your Kyle.
Hey, there you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, 2 weeks in a row in the building.
It's the black guy with the same name as me.
I have the name first, so you're my doppelganger.
Because I felt sorry for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Kyle Campbell.
Ladies and gentlemen.
He even copied my initials.
Yeah,
Mr. Campbell, why don't you go ahead and throw your social medias and all that good stuff out there for the people.
It is at Team Chaos. That's TEAMKYOS on Twitter and Instagram. Kyle Campbell, Kyle J. Campbell on Facebook. I almost said my email, too.
So which match you looking forward to, motherfucker?
Extreme Rules.
Man.
We just talked about Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler, and we talked about the B Team versus... What? Why are you telling me to shut the fuck up quietly?
I just want to see if he's going to call the same match as me, too. Then you're really copying me.
The thing it gets me is, like, do they make reference to the fact that Bray and Bo are brothers? Like,
we just talked about it. Have you noticed that they haven't fought with each other at all?
No. And, when he ran in last night, I'm like, okay, finally. And then I'm like, no, why'd you go to Axel? You should have went to Bo. I'm like,
because I don't think they want them to touch, dude. You know what would be cool, even though I totally don't see this happening? What if, they drug this out for a little while, and at some point, Bo was to, turn on Axel and go with Bray?
Yes.
Bo leave.
The thing I've been wanting for, 5 years, Bo Wyatt.
The crazy thing of it is, dude, until I actually knew that, like, if you saw him, like, the first time we saw him, which was at the 40-man Rumble a couple years ago, I would have never fucking knew that he had anything to do with Bray Wyatt.
That's the first time you saw him.
I
kind of remember, like a while ago, like, back in, like, FCW, but before they kind of switched over to NXT,
really
that they were,
FCW,
like, a tag team with each other.
FCW, what? It wasn't that good, but it was good, but it wasn't.
I didn't ever watch FCW, so when I saw him first was actually I saw him in NXT, but I'm just saying.
The tight whiteys on.
Yeah. And doing the fucking.
I hate those trunks.
Spinning around shit. Like, I don't know what the fuck that was, but cool.
Bo leave! Bo Wyatt coming soon, people.
I would be totally cool with that. Although, I have to say, I like what they're doing with the B-Team thing. I actually like the theme song.
Something looks pretty damn good.
I kind of like the shirt, even though it's not good.
Because it looks like something I can draw myself.
I love how, like, especially when they first debuted it, how they come out looking like they were actually still making them draw. I'm like, all right, that's kind of cool. I'm like, that kind of works for me. And I've always been a Curtis guy. I'm like, I've always, like, maybe it's because Mr. Perfect is one of my all-time
I've always kind of been bummed. I was really bummed when his push with Paul Heyman never did anything. Like, I was like, yeah, okay, cool, they're going to do something with him. And then
I'm like,
he had that whack-ass finisher.
And it was like one of those things where, oh, like, you can put Paul Heyman with anybody into the work. And
nah,
I'm like,
that's not true.
You got to pick the right guy for Paul. And I'm like,
dude,
that's
it didn't
not
even
really
work with
him.
Cesaro, and Cesaro is great.
True. True.
Cesaro's amazing, and it
Cesaro's
didn't
probably the most, I think he's gotten like 5 years in a row by the Wrestling Observer, the most underrated wrestler.
Oh, he's great.
Like,
but
the guy
I just,
is literally one of the. Like, the top four best wrestlers in the company, and you don't use them.
Well, hey, can I ask a quick question? Where the hell is the bar?
I know one of the reasons probably is because I know Sheamus is still healing. He's had a bad neck injury. I follow him on Instagram. He said he's had a neck injury for a while now. And I think that's the reason they took the belts off him before. But I'm like, I like them together.
Yeah.
But Cesaro is money.
Okay, but the thing with Cesaro, you know, like, this is my thought. So, I think a guy like Cesaro, you
Hello,
have
Randy.
Cesaro, I feel like you have to do
the hell.
Yeah, I know, right? Cesaro, I feel like you have to build him like as like a killer or like a strongman type,
like a Swiss
because,
Superman.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he can't. He's not someone that's ever gonna like be flamboyant or like a talker type. And I feel like when they
and
put
he's good talking though, that's the thing.
Yeah, but I feel like when they put him with Paul Heyman, they tried to make him like too flashy and shit, which for his kind of character, I just don't see it. I thought he was better off when you just had like the hot chick next to him. And like,
you know what? It's funny
it's
too.
It's me, Jessica.
that's the hot chick I was talking about.
It was around 2015. It's when I really kind of got back into WWE because I left him probably around like 2013, I got back out of it again. Punk got me on. People have listened to the podcast before. I got back in right, I think about 2 weeks before the pipe bomb.
Okay.
And when I saw that, I'm like, all right, they're doing some stuff. I'm gonna listen to them again. And then I got back out of it, and then I started watching it right around when KO debuted on the main roster. And it was a little after that. It was about, I think, like at least 3 or 4 weeks in a row, because you know they recycle the same match, that it was him and Kevin Owens. And they were putting
on Cesaro
and
Kevin Owens?
Yeah. And they were putting on like 15, 20 minute, like 9 o'clock mid Raw matches. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this guy really does have something. And ever since then, I've been a Cesaro guy, but he's one of the guys they're not going to really. Vince has a thing, I guess he just sees him as a mid-carder, which he's only going to let him get so far. But I'm like, if you put this guy in the main event, imagine what him and AJ Styles could do at a pay-per-view.
We saw what him and Cena can do, man. When Cena was doing the open challenge, man, he stole the show, man. Had one of the best matches that year.
Are we all too close together? Should we all like? Shouldn't this be like urinal rules? Like, in one in between.
Why go there? Like,
Bob, no, movie theater rules. You know, you go one chair.
One seat. Yeah.
No shit. No one share armrests. I ignore all those rules.
Wait, why is your microphone not working, Randy? What's going on?
I ignore all of those rules.
There we go.
There's God.
Speaking of God, Randy's going to play God next week.
in a local production of Jesus Christ Superstar.
we'll talk about that at the end of the show. But Mr. Campbell, what match are you looking forward to the most on Extreme Rules besides B Team and the leaders and
thank you for that, Colin.
And the Intercontinental Championship.
Normal bodily function, okay?
Go ahead, say it. You know you want to say it.
That's what she said.
Roman Reigns versus Bobby Lashley.
If you know what, it would be the greatest swerve of all time if they just put that on the pre-show. Like, that would just be like, you would literally have people that just came into the arena and say, wait, the Roman match is over? Yeah, you would get yes chance all night. I really don't like this pay-per-view anyway. I hate this pay-per-view. I'm like,
wait, are you talking about this one in particular or the Extreme Rules in general?
Extreme Rules themed as a pay-per-view. Because it's like, it devalues the an extreme match. Like if every match has to have something to it, it takes away. Like, that's why I heard they're taking away TLC as a pay-per-view in October. Because it's taking away from having a table, ladders, and chair match. And then you already have a ladders match. Money in the Bank every year.
Right.
So
I agree with you, man. I am not really a fan of the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Because it's like, you can't.
I like it, but at the same time, I wish they had, like, again, like you said, I wish all matches weren't extreme. Like,
but like Kevin and Braun in a cage. That's a good setup.
That makes
sense.
But
by itself,
though,
as of like a pay-per-view, like a main event of a pay-per-view, Braun versus KO in a cage, and now KO can't get away from him. I'd buy into that.
Yeah, but
now
that's just totally a match. That match makes total sense, because that match, Kevin's been running away and all that shit.
Well, I guess the question is, what match on this card is really extreme? I mean,
Randy, that was your cue to play crickets.
Perfect example.
I got it.
Perfect example, though, is that, like, I feel like the Nia Jax match. Like, okay, you had Alexa beat the shit out of her with a kendo stick, but isn't this the same fucking thing that Alexa Bliss did last year with Bayley?
So you mean lather, rinse, repeat? I've never seen that in this age of WWE. I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
No.
And it's like, Alexa Bliss in the Extreme Rules match. Yeah. Like, Triple H is going to let her get her. Like, he's going to really let Nia really lay into her like she should.
But and then here's the thing, too.
I hate them both. It's just so awful. I hate those two right now. I'm so
bullshit. Alexa Bliss is his chick. Don't let him lie to you.
I can't stand. She's worse than Trish Stratus.
Don't let him lie to you.
Whoa, wait a minute. No, that's a
don't thing. Let him. Don't let him. Get, don't let him lie to you,
Trish,
bro.
Because
Alexa Bliss is
Dougie
his chick,
boys.
Bro.
This broad has the same gimmick.
Wow,
and then,
throwing up broad.
I hate this too, because in February, Bliss is the mean girl, which is a 2006 movie, so that shows you how old this reference is, shows you how awful this feud is, and Nia is getting bullied, which is, okay, the big chick's getting bullied by the little chick, okay. Then, in May, she's bullying Ronda Rousey because she's the big bully, and Ronda's the small girl, and she can't overcome it.
Right.
And then now,
okay, but
in
do you
July,
really think-
it's back to what?
Alexa's being the mean person again.
And Nia, and now I love how Nia and Natty are a thing now.
I don't know why Mickey James, like, they keep putting her with fucking Alexa Bliss. Like, it's Mickey James is one of the greatest women's wrestlers of all time. Why the fuck do you keep putting her as,
didn't
like,
didn't they have a feud back in March? Didn't she go for, like, a championship title opportunity to get screwed?
They keep putting her as, like, some sideshow with
Alexa Bliss. I cringe when they came. I'm like, ah, oh, Mickey.
Can I say something that might be deemed a bit overboard, but I 100% believe it?
Go for it.
I feel like the WWE right now has the best talent roster they've ever had. But I also feel like they have the worst writing they've ever had.
Oh, that's... I agree to that.
Like, and...
I have to say, even though they play Raw as, like, the A-show, bro, in my opinion, SmackDown's killed them.
And the main thing that gets me on that, agreeing with that, is the third hour. Like, you feel like they have to stretch out. Like, they have to have a 25-minute segment to start it. Oh, and let me get on a tangent for that. How many fucking times in the last 18 months have we seen the pull apart? I honestly, thank God, okay, I recorded that. I fast forwarded through that, and my fast forward goes like every 5 minutes. I had to hit it 3 times to get through that, and I'm like,
here's
are
one
you
better.
Kidding
here's
me?
One better for you though. Like, okay, so you're gonna do a pull apart, right? We all know that Bobby Lashley was an MMA fighter. Why is it, even if Bobby is an MMA fighter, dude, they made Roman look like a fucking punk, bro. Because if you really watch that, Bobby Lashley was beating the shit out of him like the whole fucking time.
But wait, here's a better question. Is this match for the number one contendership of the title? Why are they wrestling each other?
And I have the pre-sale code for SmackDown, ladies and gents.
Oh, that was cool. Just messaged to me.
But what is Roman Reigns versus Bobby Lashley about? Because at first it was supposed to be like a six-man battle
of the Vince guys for eras.
But originally it was supposed to be like, what, a four-man?
Mm-hmm. They actually admitted it on camera. I'm like, all right, right. Where's this going?
So is this like a one-on-one match for the number one contendership? Or is it just... It's because they're big guys. And it's they fighting each other.
Is Roman really that big, though?
He's the big dog.
Like, next to Bobby, it's like anybody's probably going to look small. But they always refer to him as like the powerhouse or the muscle. I'm like, I've seen guys bigger. Like, Chris Masters was bigger than you, bro. Like, he's not that large. I'm like, and that's the thing that gets me about that Superman punch. I'm like, you see a Superman punch coming from a guy that has pythons. Okay, I get it. Dude, you're athletic, but it looks like your boots are weighing you down. Like,
wait, here's another question. How is it that Roman Reigns was basically in two feuds at one time?
Wait, that whole gender thing just fused.
Like, he literally had three feuds at like one time. It was him and the Revival, him and Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre, and then him and Bobby Lashley.
And then were they even a part of the pull apart?
The Revival,
or they just got left off of TV, and that storyline is dead because of Twitter.
Can I just say, for one, like, it would be cool to see the Revival actually put into some sort of fucking feud with the tag team, A, and B, like, why the fuck would you just cool off Jinder Mahal and make him look like a complete dope after the run?
Once again, bad storytelling.
No, not just that. The greatest Royal Rumble is over. So
I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand why.
That was his whole point.
We have a caller.
You have a call?
Oh, I thought he was doing a Samoa Joe person.
Hello?
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Is this Mr. Madman Pondo?
Hello there.
This is Madman Pondo. I'm busy at the moment and ready to talk to you guys about the book.
Hell yeah. Well, if you guys have been paying attention to our page, the book he is referencing is Memoirs of a Madman. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
All right. Well, yes, I am a professional wrestler, but the book is not all about professional wrestling. It's got a lot of funny stories in it, a lot of celebrities that I've met over the years. The foreword is by the one and the only Vanilla Ice.
No,
I mean, that's already a plus. Yeah, of course.
Shout out to Rob Van Winkle.
There you go,
look,
man.
Look at you pulling out the full government name.
Word to your mother.
Man, so what inspired you to write this book, man?
Well, a guy named John Cosper was writing a book called Eat, Sleep, Wrestle, and he lives in this area. So he was asking a lot of different wrestlers their opinions on things, and he put it in the book. Well, he put a section, I think I put like two paragraphs in there. So people would read his book and say, oh my God, you should do a book about Madman Pondo. And he approached me about it, but here's the thing. I didn't think anybody would really want to know what I had to say. So I was apprehensive about it because I didn't want to be the Virgil of books on sale at Dollar Tree, you know what I mean? So
great.
So, I kept saying, you know, well, let's just hold off. Let's see how things go, you know?
Right.
Well, next thing I know, people started coming to me and saying, hey, you should do that book with John Cosper. Well, at least 20 or 30 people said that. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do it. So by the time I got to John Cosper and said, hey, let's do the book, he was working on Dr. D. David Schultz book, which is also available right now. But once he had free time doing that book, he would ask me stuff. And it was a long process getting my book done because, of course, he was finishing up the other book. But now they're both done, and you can get them both. One on Amazon.com, or two on you can contact John Cosper yourself at eatsleepwrestle.com, and he will sell you either a a regular copy or a personalized autograph copy. I don't know what how much they cost. They ain't mine. Everybody comes to me asking for free books, so fuck it. They ain't my books. But I will say this, and this is as of today. It is the number one wrestling book on Amazon right now.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, so make sure you go to Amazon to buy that.
And, of course, that's only because it's a new release, so that made number one. But, hell, fuck it. I'm going to take the title. I'm the number one book.
Yeah, we'll definitely tag the link for eatsleepwrestle.com and the Amazon link on our page. So you can go find that a lot easier. But question that I have, and I don't know if a lot of people know a lot about your background, but I remember as a kid, I used to watch a little promotion called USWA.
Jesus, how old are
you? There you go.
I'm old as shit. But and I remember like seeing this guy. I'm like, I know I've seen that name before somewhere when I was watching the JCW match. I'm like, I know I've seen this name before. And then I went on YouTube, did a little research, and I saw a match between you and one Mr. Jeff Jarrett, who just went into the Hall of Fame. So
right.
How do you spell Jeff Jarrett's name?
That's JEFFJARRETT. Ha ha.
Damn, I'll give you a pound for that because I thought you were gonna mess that up.
So talk to me about your career before you kind of start getting into the death matches, your days in the USWA and coming up in the business.
Well, I was just impressed to be in the locker room with like Jerry the King Lawler and Bill Dundee and stuff like, you know, guys like that. But that's exactly what I did, man. I was driving to Memphis. I was driving to Evansville. I was putting in my time, getting my shit kicked in by the Moondogs. And you saw Jeff Jarrett and Moondogs. But it doesn't bother me, you know. I was on a major circuit like USWA, one that I was watching when I was a child. So I was happy. And then I ran my mouth more than what I should. And I was no longer, you know, once I got home from Memphis one day, I had a message from Kevin Lawler saying that I wasn't allowed to come back.
Wow.
Hey, no problem. I was there. No problem. But, you know, it inspired me to keep on going and find other companies. I never wanted to be a 40-miler. I never wanted to just wrestle in my hometown. I always wanted somehow, some way for the wrestling world to know who I am. And cutting myself for the entertainment of others is the way that I figured out how to do that.
All right, and do you talk about your early days in your book?
Yes, I do, man. It goes from some of my school antics to, you know, nowadays when I've done deathmatch stuff, and there's just so much in this book, but it's just not only a wrestling book. There's all types of funny stories. There's a story about me masturbating to some girl on the internet in there. Some stories that a lot of guys
something we can all
put in their
to.
Book, but I don't care. I'm Madman Pondo, and I put that shit in there.
That's a great advertisement.
There's a story about I had a girl on my shoulders at the ZZ Top concert, got a hard on, and the crowd all shoved me forward. And the guy in front of me, and I still can feel it today, which is a hell of a ghost. I got pushed forward, and my boner went right between his ass cheeks, and I felt his ass cheeks clench on my boner. So you can imagine, if I'm going to put those stories, I am no holds bar. I will tell it like it is, and there you go. Memoirs of a madman.
Clearly.
So who has a question after that?
So far, people who's read the book has told me, you know, and I mean everybody who's told the book, is they have actually laughed out loud at some of the stories because they can visualize, you know, that I'm in such detail. They can visualize what I'm doing and how things are going. And, you know, I just hope everybody laughs at the book.
So anybody have a question to follow that up?
So when you and I were talking leading up to the show, you were also telling us you had stories of a past guest of our show won the mysterious Movado of the Bumpin' Uglies.
Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah. So I got them booked on the Jerry Springer show. And, of course, you know them. They have their hijinks and love
yes,
to smoke
do.
Their marijuana. So we're inside the hotel, and I don't smoke marijuana, but they all was. Avado, both the bumper, you know, all of them were smoking. Well, I guess it seeped out into the hallway. But right across the hallway was like an old folks reunion or something. So there was some pitchers of tea out on one of those push carts outside the door. Well, Bubba picked up one of those pitchers of tea took it inside his room, took it inside our room. So I went downstairs to get some glasses. And when I came back upstairs, I came out of the elevator and two police officers started following me down the hall.
Oh, no.
All right. Now I'm still thinking it's about that pitcher of tea.
Right.
So I passed our room and one of the policemen said, nope, nope, nope. And grabbed me by the back of my neck and said, come here. We need in this room. And he put my face in front of the hole of the peephole, the door.
Oh, damn.
And then they knocked on the door. Well, of course, the bump and ugly saw that my face. So they opened the door with open arms, and in comes the police and the manager of the motel.
Uh-oh.
So they come inside, and they know that we're there for the Jerry Springer show. So they say, guys, we're not stupid. We know you guys are smoking weed. They go, whose room is it? Now, the room was under Josh's name, but Josh and Bubba both pointed at a bottle and said, it's Amato's room.
Oh, shit.
All right.
Amato's another member of the band.
That was okay. It didn't matter because the cops were like, be smart about this. Put a towel up against the door where the smoke don't go out into the party next door. And I'm just shocked. There's weed everywhere. And so the cops both pass me, and then the manager comes up and taps me on the shoulder, and I turn around and he goes, here's an extra towel. That way you don't have to use one from the shower. Just shove it up underneath your door. I was like, are you fucking shitting me?
You guys got lucky that night, man.
Sure did. We was all headed to jail.
So another thing I was reading when I was reading up on stuff for the show and stuff, I also saw that you had some time in IWA Mid-South. And I know that Chris Hero and CM Punk and a lot of those guys were there. You know, did you rub elbows with any of them guys while you were down there?
I am the one that found Chris Hero on the road, and I told Ian, I said, you got to book this kid, you know? So, and Chris Hero is one of the guys that I helped in this business to this day that still thanks me for helping him in the business. So, yeah, IWA Mid-South, me and Ian Rotten was married for the first 3 or 4 months doing the main event, doing things that serial killers wouldn't do to each other, you know? barbed wire ropes, electrified light tubes, you name it, big screen TVs, all of that shit. You know, we were the first 3 to 4 months that was drawing 400 people on a Wednesday inside of a old Kmart building. I mean, we was packing them in. And then, so you name them. I saw them come in. I saw CM Punk come in. I saw, who else did I see? Colt Cabana when he came in. I saw Chip Faraway. You know, I helped out Necro Butcher to get there. Just all the IWA Mid-South guys, yes, I have rubbed shoulders with them up until the past 10, 15 years. I haven't had much to do with IWA Mid-South.
So you mentioned the Necro Butcher. I have to ask. So as most people that know that you're linked up with Juggalo Championship Wrestling. I guess it's a two-part question. A, how'd you get hooked up with ICP and Juggalo Championship Wrestling? And B, you know, tell us what got you in there. Because from what I read, it was because of a feud with you and Too Tough Tony.
Well, no, that's not true. It was a feud with me and Ian. There was a promoter named Malcolm Monroe.
Oh,
his
shit.
Son's running Malcolm now, Monroe. Malcolm Monroe Jr., but Malcolm Monroe was running an old boxing building, and it was called Insane Championship Wrestling. And I was reading the dirt sheets. I don't know if you guys even mm-hmm. know what those
yeah.
are anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Fuck Dave Meltzer.
are there still dirt sheets, or are they just all
Oh, they're
the
rampant.
Now?
They're rampant.
Yeah. No, they're still out there. Wade Keller, Dave
really?
Meltzer. Yep, they're still out there.
All the same guys that were probably around back then are still around now.
Ryan Alvarez.
All right, well, this isn't an insult, but that was toilet reading for us, you know? I mean, we would put those on the back of the toilet, and that's what we would read while we was taking a shit. So I always had plenty of time to read them. And I'm reading about Insane Championship Wrestling, and they're talking about Rick Matrix and Tex Monroe caught a car on fire right above the electric lines, and the firemen had to be called. And I'm like, shit, that's where I need to be. So me and Ian got a hold of Malcolm Monroe. We went down and we just changed the face of death matches in Michigan. Of course, they had the original Sheik and Abdullah doing shit, but me and Ian was doing barbed wire bats and thumbtacks and all this crazy shit. So one night we was wrestling and we did a thumbtack death match, and Sabu was out in the crowd just looking at us like we was a couple of retards. But when we got in the back, there was two wrestlers that came up to us, Hector Hatchett and the Sewer Dweller. And there was a couple of white guys with dreadlocks, and they're coming over to Ian, but Ian had heat with these guys because he had a videotape. ICP had a videotape called Stranglemania that had pictures of Ian and Axel on the front of it. Now, to me, that is an advertisement that you couldn't pay for. To Ian, right, he wanted paid for his pictures to be on the cover. Shut the fuck up. What's wrong with you? So anyway, he goes, you know, the ICP is trying to talk to him first. Well, he doesn't want to even talk to him. He leaves. So they come over to me and they're like, man, that shit you guys did, that was awesome. That was great. We have videotapes out about it, but that's the first time we saw it live and all this shit. And Violent J, which I didn't know was Hector Hatchett at the time, he said, one of these days we're going to do something big in wrestling and we want you to come with us. Will you be with us? And you know, you hear so much shit, but I'm like, yeah, man, let's do it. And they gave me a free Super Bowl t-shirt and a Carnival of Love. I don't know. It's got Shaggy with a big dick on the inside cover. What was it? A Carnival of Love? I can't remember what it was. But anyway, me and my wife listened to it on the way home, and the shit was fucking great. It was funny. So then we bought some of their old CDs. But I never thought I would hear another thing about them guys. You know, I just thought they was a local Detroit band. So then I'm walking around the mall in St. Louis, and there's motherfucking kids wearing their shirts. And I'm like, holy shit, these guys are big. But I didn't know how to get a hold of them.
Right.
So finally, they was doing a show called Stranglemania Live. And they got a hold of Dan Curtis, and they said, Dan Curtis, no matter how you do it, get a hold of Madman Pondo. So they did, and I wrestled twice on that show. I wrestled Angel from ECW and a titties in the thumbtacks match. And then I did a three-way with Ian and Ox Harley where we just destroyed each other. And then they did another promotion called Hellfire where I wrestled there as well. And then they started JCW right after that. And I've been doing JCW ever since. Coming up the end of this month, I'm on the 19th Gathering of the Juggalos, and that will be number 19 in a row for your old boy, Madman Pondo.
Wow. Mr. Campbell, you got a question?
Yeah. What do you do to hype yourself up before you go out and do, like, a death match, a thumbtack match, hardcore match? Like, what is it really like? What do you do to psych yourself? Do you listen to something? Do you have to be by yourself for a couple minutes? Do you just go out there and it just, you know, the second you hit the ring, it just takes over you? Like, what does it really take to get into the mindset to go out there and know you're going to do something that's about to hurt a lot? Like, what is the mindset that goes into that?
I literally get out of bed. I know that's not the answer that you wanted, but I've never been nervous about this shit, you know? I tell everybody that retardation hasn't helped anybody out in life more than it has me. So to get in the ring with deathmatch stuff, secondhand to me, you know? People have come to me and said, would you teach me how to do what you do? You can't teach people how to do what I do. You either have the balls to do it or you do not have the balls to do it.
Right.
So there is a handful of deathmatch workers and there is a world full of professional wrestlers. I am happy to be in that little handful And I know that we get hated on a lot for being deathmatch workers, and that's not professional wrestling. But to me, I think that as long as it's drawing money and people come to see it, there is room for everything. There is room for Jakara's comedy. There's room for Lucha Underground high flying. There's room for ROH's technical matches. Well, God damn it, there is room for death matches, and that's what I do, and I probably won't quit doing them until they quit me.
All right. Well, that being said, you know, you mentioned all those other promotions. You know, do you keep up very much with the product nowadays, or is there anybody that you like that's out nowadays or anything like that, or are you just strictly doing your own thing?
I hate wrestling. I can't watch it. Can't do a fucking thing for it. But there is three. I now live at the arena where Too Tough Tony owns an arena. And I moved into an apartment that is connected to it. And there is three or four groups that they don't know what the fuck they're doing. You know, that might as well be, if there's a $5 wrestling, these guys should be $2.50 wrestling. Oh, wow. I love the shit. I will go every time that they step into a ring. There is so much shit that I love about it. And, you know, of course, nobody else loves it. Most people come because I'm ripping on the wrestlers. And you would think that the wrestlers would be pissed about that. One by one, they come and shake my hand and tell me hello and thanks for coming out. So they're not pissed. I'm not pissed. The crowd's not pissed. It's terrible wrestling. And, of course, $5 wrestling. I would go watch a $5 wrestling show any day.
Right.
But now I have started my own girls' company called Girl Fight, and I don't want to be a character on the show, you know? I don't want to be the commissioner. I don't want to be somebody that they look out and say, hey, can we do this match or not? So I sit there and I watch my Girl Fight shows, and that's about all the wrestling I watch. And of course, you know, if they tell me, oh, my God, let's see. Osbury and Ricochet had an awesome match, you know,
right.
And they'll start telling me a couple of spots. I'll go watch that. Definitely. Or if they say Marcus Everett tried to jump down on Corey Storm and landed right on the fucking floor, I will watch that tenfold. But to watch a WWE pay-per-view, back when I was with somebody, she would get me into the shows and I would watch her wrestle, but I'd have to sit there for the rest of the shows. God forbid, 2 days in a row, I'd have to sit there for 16 hours and watch Shimmer, and then I would watch Shine. Other than that, fuck wrestling. I don't watch wrestling, and that's probably why I'm not very good at what I do, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Well, did you hear the WWE Network's only $9.99?
Somebody said to me one time, like, hey, man, I can give you my code for the network. And I said, fuck, you don't have nothing on Pornhub?
Wow. I have no idea how to transition to this next question.
I'd love to see that segue.
But we have a question that we ask all wrestlers, all wrestling guests that we have on the show. And basically, we have like this list that we're working on of locker room rules.
We're
going to make an actual list.
It's going to be on the wall like the Stonecutter's Oath?
Something like that. But I would love to hear one of the Kings of Death Matches rules of the locker room. Some of the rules that we've had on there so far is wash your balls. Keep your bullshit at home. Don't bring your baby mama into the locker room because she might get fucked. Don't bring kids into the locker room. Make sure you shake everyone's hands. So from the King of the Death Matches, what is one of your locker room rules for wrestlers?
Well, I agree totally with the girlfriend and the kids not in the locker room. The locker room is for the wrestlers to get there, get dressed, pay attention to what the promoter says, not to have your kid running around punching wrestlers or your wife worried about whether she gets a fucking hot dog or not. But I'm going to go one step further than that. Don't bring your dog, kid, or girlfriend, or boyfriend, whichever you prefer, into the locker room. I totally agree with that rule. Another rule that I have, and this one barely anybody listens to, but you can go to any promotion that I've put together, which is IWA East Coast and Girl Fight. If you are the promoter of the show, do not win your own fucking belt. do not win your own tag team belt. And God forbid, don't be the champion and a tag team champion, which I've seen happen before. I think it makes your whole company look like shit. When I was running IWA's Coast, we would bring in Vader and Raven and Dick Togo. I took on one star out of the whole 5 years we was running. I took on Raven. But the rest of them, I let the rest of the guys wrestle. That way you pump up your company and your wrestlers, not just yourselves. That's the problem with wrestling today. Promoters want to start companies so they can pump up themselves, and it's just fucking up the whole thing. Another thing, and this is for wrestlers and fans, if you're going to a WWE show, don't wear a fucking championship belt over your shoulder or around your waist, because you didn't beat anybody. Whoever was bidding on that on eBay. So you're an eBay champion. You're not a fucking champion. Stop wearing belts to WWE. It's just fucking stupid, I think.
You're an eBay champion. I am eBay using that. Champion.
Right.
That's a shirt right there.
Let's get that word started right now for anybody who has a belt, you know. I had a guy make a professional custom belt. I did not buy belts and then put decals all over the motherfuckers. I had a fucking belt made because me and you three are not eBay champions. Fuck eBay champions.
All right, Pino, we're going to ask one last question, and then we'll go ahead and talk about the book a little bit more before we get out of here. But my last question, you were just talking about how you started a girls' company. And you yourself, you participated in intergender matches, and you wrestled against women, with women. And right now, even though you don't watch it, the WWE, they're pushing women's wrestling right now. You got companies like Lucha. Yeah, they are. Just a little bit.
Still.
You got companies like Lucha Underground that had a woman as their world champion. So how important is women's wrestling to you? I mean, obviously it's important, but what made you start your company, and why did you want to start a company to get more women out there?
Well, I'm not even going to mention her name, but you guys know who I was dating before, and she didn't know how to network, and nobody knew who she was. So I wanted to skyrocket her career fast. So I start my own girls' company, and we bring in Jazz, right? She wrestles Jazz. She doesn't go over Jazz, but she wrestles Jazz. She meets Jazz. Jazz is a veteran. The veteran helps her out. Right. Also, Jessica Havoc and Blue Pants was on that show. They're veterans. They push her. They help her along. Then when she gets to Shimmer, okay, she knows Jessica Havoc and Blue Pants. So there she doesn't have to feel uncomfortable in locker rooms. And she can network and make friends. And, you know, just that's the way we started it. We did a show in 2013, and it didn't draw our dick. I'm not even going to lie. But then in 2015, I moved in next to that arena, and there was a ring. There was a sound booth. There was a dressing room. There was a concession stand. I said, fuck it. Let's try it again. So then we tried the girls' company again, and we started drawing great crowds. So I've just been doing it ever since. And then there was a point where I was just done with it. Like, I'm not going to do it no more. But some of the girls came to me and said, Pondo, please don't stop. And then, you know, I was like, okay, if you girls want to keep going, let's keep going. And we did. So now Girl Fight has been in 12 different states, and we just did two shows that I'm pretty proud of. One, we did a midnight girl fight. We started it at 11:59, so it got underway at midnight, and we drew 90 paid, which doesn't sound good, but it's great for us. And then in Summit, Illinois, we had our first all-girls deathmatch tournament called Death Becomes Her. Wow. And all the girls worked really hard. I'm really proud of them. Both of those are going to be available on DVD at highspots.com. And check them out. And, yep, that's why I started Girl Fight right there.
Wow. Well, Pondo, man, we thank you for having you on the show, man. Before you get out of here, we want to make sure that you get a chance to, you know, plug your book, any shows that you got coming on.
And are you going
to
be in the Michigan area again anytime soon? Because I've seen you a couple times out here.
As a matter of fact, there will be a Girl Fight August the 26th at the Token Lounge in, I think, please correct me if I'm wrong, Westland, Michigan.
Yeah, Westland. That's Westland. Westland.
Westland, Michigan for the Token Lounge, August 26th. There will be a girl fight show there, so maybe you guys can come out and we can do some of this shit live for all I
would
care.
Love to, dude. But,
about the book, though, again, you can pick it up on Amazon at Amazon.com, or you can write John Cosper yourself at EatSleepWrestle.com. I've read the book. It's very entertaining. Yes, that sounds like I'm bragging because it's about me, but some of the stories in there, you're going to think, Pondo's full of shit, but then I produce pictures to show that I'm telling the truth.
Wow.
And I'm here to tell you, I don't have no bullshit to say. I mean, you know, like I said at the beginning of the show, if I was going to bullshit people, would I put that I'm masturbating to the internet? Hell no. I got nothing but truth to tell you guys.
Man. Well, you got any social media that you need to throw out there, or your High Spots page, or anything else?
And does Girl Fight have
on,
a page?
Yeah, on Facebook, you can search GirlFightWrestling.com, give that a like. And then due to Facebook making you use your real name, my real name is Kevin Kennedy, C-A-N-A-D-Y.
Another case.
Search me. I have 5,000 friends, so I can't have no more, but... if you impress me enough, I'll delete four motherfuckers and put you on there. I don't care.
Nice.
Wait, any last words for the folks out there?
Well, yeah. I just want everybody to, you know, just because I hate wrestling, I don't want everybody to hate wrestling. I want everybody to enjoy the shows, go out, you know, and always remember that the independent workers aren't making that much. I don't care how much they lie to you. They're not making that much. So if they have a merch table, always bring enough to buy at least one picture off of somebody, because it helps out with gas and food and all that horse shit. But anyway, I'm Madman Pondo, and that's about all I got to say.
All right. Well, thank you for being on the show.
We appreciate your time, man, and we'll see you when you come out here for Girl Fight.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for your time.
Cool, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Madman Pondo.
That was a good interview.
We got to go home, don't we?
He's hilarious.
All right, let's go ahead and hurry up and get through this social media so we can get out of
oh,
here.
Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm looking for the Intercontinental match. That's the only match I'm looking forward to is the Intercontinental match.
So the same one I said. You copy my initials, you copy my fucking everything, and even the match I pick. Fuck you.
If that helps you sleep at night.
Well, Mr. Campbell, please throw out your
social. I said it first, I win.
Mr. Campbell, please throw out your social media and all that good stuff.
At Twitter and Instagram, at Team Chaos.
At Kyle's Cop Doppelganger.
Wow. Wow.
I haven't gotten a dignified that response. And Facebook, he knows Kyle it's true. J. Campbell. Wish me a happy birthday, because tomorrow is my birthday.
Tomorrow's your birthday?
7-Eleven. Oh, by the way, I actually spoke to the head of 7-Eleven. I'm actually getting everybody free Slurpees tomorrow. So if you go into a 7-Eleven, you can get a free Slurpee because of me, because it is my birthday.
That's bullshit.
It's been going on for 33 years, so therefore it is because of me. So you're all welcome. You're all welcome.
Mr. Collison.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit N-O-K-O-U-T. Find me on Facebook at Kyle Collison, and follow the show.
And don't you try out, Ralphie.
Look, I didn't, because I can still see your dumb ass fine. Follow the show on the page, Knockouts and Three Counts Podcast. Shots are fired because this asshole has to be
children.
Buck tooth looking motherfucker. Wow. Anyways,
that's not even applicable.
I don't know, but it is today. You can follow us at Knockouts and Three Counts Podcast on Facebook, at KO3CPod on Twitter and Instagram, and follow at KO3CPod.com.
And you're copying off of me because you have the backwards hat. That's my thing.
Well, and
you don't have a hat.
You have them quaffed.
Shut their mics off. I'm Devin McKenzie. You can hit me up on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can hit me up on Instagram at AllStake. No, what the hell are you?
It's 2.5, man. I'm telling you.
All right. You can hit me up on Instagram at AllStake No Sizzle. That's one word. Make sure you check out the Reality Era News page on Facebook. Join. We will add you. And if you're looking for a car, make sure you check out SouthfieldQualityCars.com. Once you check out the vehicle that you would like to purchase, you go in, use the reference code 19309. That's 19309. And you will receive
1939.
Whatever. You will receive $500 off on your purchase. Ladies and gentlemen, this is another episode of Knockouts and Three Counts. We'll check you out next week, where we have a great debate between Kyle Collison and myself, with Randy Walker as the judge.
And fuck your couch!